From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast Day M. Next hour, a night of science, drawing the map of life inside the Human Genome Project. Fascinating program. Well, I hope you had a great Independence weekend. Another holiday has come and gone. They just keep flying by, don't they? The next one is Labor Day. It's in 2 months. That'll be here in no time. Here's what's happening. Tar balls from the Gulf oil leak found on a Texas beach were the first evidence that the gushing crude from the Deepwater Horizon well has reached all the Gulf states now. A Coast Guard official said that it was possible that the oil simply hitched a ride on a ship and was not carried naturally by currents to the barrier islands of eastern Texas. But there is no way to know for sure. And engineers bore deeper into the seafloor toward the source of the oil still spewing into the Gulf of Mexico. BP is growing more confident that the relief well it expects to complete in August will succeed, where all previous efforts to contain or kill this gusher have failed. But what if it doesn't work? Here's our Kelly Sweeney. Captain, what if it doesn't work? What do we do then?
Well, hi, George, you and all the listeners. Well, there is the backup plan for the wells, George. Well, Plan A is the first relief well that was started on May 2nd. Plan B is the second relief well. And there is a Plan C that has not been definitively set yet, but they have been talking about bringing another vessel, a containment in, holding the containment in place, recovering as much as possible, and then seeing where it goes from there. But so far, they don't have a backup plan for the backup plan, but they're working on it.
Kelly, what percent are they recovering that's spewing out?
Well, right now it's about 50%, George, and they're hoping...
Not good enough.
You know, I agree. And they're hoping that another vessel, there's two vessels on the scene right now. One of them has storage capacity, the other does not, and it's just burning it off what it recovers. They're bringing a third vessel online that was supposed to have come about a week ago, called the Helix Producer. That's going to be online probably on Wednesday.
I think choppy waters have slowed that down, right?
Yes, and Hurricane Alex slowed that down getting to the site. But when that vessel gets on there, they're hoping to be able to have a good handle on it and be able to recover 80,000 barrels, which would be 42 gallons a barrel, so it'd be about 3.2 million gallons a day. In that way, they'll know what's really coming out, because so far, they really don't know what's coming out.
No, not at all. All right, Kelly, check in with us this week. Well, the chairman of the Energy and Environment Subcommittee, Representative Ed Markey, Democrat out of Massachusetts, must have heard Richard C. Hoagland on our program last night. He's now questioning not only if oil and gas are seeping out of the damaged casing into the seabed and surrounding rock, but whether oil and gas may be rushing into the casing after BP drilled into oil formations above the targeted reservoir. Here's Richard C. Hoagland, head of the EnterpriseMission.com. Richard, sounds like at least we might have somebody in Congress who wants to get some things done here.
Well, this is a key guy, and as you know, we've been saying for weeks now that everybody should write to Ed Markey. Google his name. He's on, you know, the House of Representatives. He's chairman of this critical committee. He apparently sent a letter on June 23rd, George, well before last night's show. In fact, just shortly after the first time I was on discussing the mud law.
Mm-hmm.
And in this letter to BP, he specifically requests, which is the protocol, that the mud log data as well as other drilling data, resistivity logs, everything you'd want to know about the geology of this site be delivered to Congress by Friday, July 2nd. Now, the holiday took place, so we're not going to know until tomorrow whether BP has complied with this, quote, request, but it's only one-third of the job. Even if they have, this is only for the BP well. We desperately need the mud logs from the other wells within 100 miles because of this methane bulge we've been tracking, and we need this tsunami warning network of buoys to give the folks along the shore any reasonable warning so they can get out of the way or get up to a high building or whatever, because the more data I collect on this, the worse it's looking. You understand what's going to come up in about a week now, from tonight.
What's that?
The July 11th total eclipse of the sun. And as you know from our friend Jim Berkland, when you have the sun, moon, earth aligned,
you've got earthquakes.
You have syzygy earthquakes. You have higher tides. If this bulge is creating cracks in the seafloor, that enhanced tidal action could in fact cause something to break and methane to flow, and the disaster scenario that I'm praying is not there to actually take place. So we need that buoy warning system. And I told one of the boat captains who called us this afternoon from the Gulf, you know, you might want to go, you know, inshore and get inland, and he's going to take his family to Baton Rouge because they live right on the water.
Okay, Richard, thanks for the update there, too. Richard's been doing yeoman work, as has Kelly Sweeney. Big areas of Toronto were without power Monday due to a fire at a transformer. A Hydro One spokesperson said the blackout was affecting about 200,000 people citywide. A new U.S. Air Force satellite will provide the very first time space-based surveillance of hundreds of satellites and thousands of pieces of debris that could crash into American and allied objects circling the planet. If all goes as planned, the space-based space surveillance satellite, scheduled for a July 8th launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, will have an unobstructed around-the-clock view of the increasingly heavy traffic in Earth orbit, something the Air Force does not have now. Tired of waiting, by the way, for spending to rebound on its own? Retailers are taking matters into their own hands. Stores like Sam's Club, Target, Toys R Us, Staples, and Office Depot are offering unconventional promotions meant not only to attract you to the store, but also to get you to feel very, very spending type. Walgreens Sam's Club, for example, is introducing a program in which it facilitates loans for shoppers up to $25,000. Apparently, it's backed by the Small Business Administration. There's been much focus on the dangers of driving while using a cell phone, but experts say pedestrians are also suffering the consequences of mobile distraction. They're tripping on curbs, walking into traffic, even stepping into manholes as they chat or type while walking. Now technology companies are stepping in to help these sidewalk stumblers step out more safely. Tools are including, which will allow users to talk to their text messaging phones. The body of chess legend Bobby Fischer was exhumed in Iceland. His body was reburied shortly after DNA samples were taken. Iceland's Supreme Court ruled last month in favor of a request by Fischer's alleged daughter to exhume his remains in order to settle a paternity question. Lady Gaga has become the very first living person to have more than 10 million fans on Facebook, with her tally standing at close to 11 million. According to new research by an online site called FameCount, the star recently overtook Barack Obama, who had a shortly under 10 million, to claim the number one spot. Up next, Mitch Batras joins us. We're going to be talking about earth changes and the oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico. Mitch is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. When it comes to earth changes, nobody knows earth changes like Mitch Batras. Mitch, where are you right now? Are you heading back now?
That's right, George. Thank goodness I have good reception. I think I will for the rest of this half hour, and then I'll be at the landline. Yes, I am traveling back from Louisiana. Was able to get a live report and you know, I get a hands-on feel of what's going on. And what I found out is it's as much of a human catharsis, a real challenge to where we might be going as a nation, as much as it is the tragedy of the oil spill itself.
What's the mood down there, Mitch?
The mood is not good. The mood is scary. You know, maybe because it's the 4th of July. And what does the 4th of July mean? Well, it means our independence. And who did we get independence from?
how ironic. They got us finally.
How ironic it is. And here we are talking about British Petroleum. And there are many who are looking at it as more than a metaphor. Maybe it was because of the way the CEO came off and you know, now the confirmed lies that that have occurred all over and over again. But they feel that they that America was being treated with disrespect, that we were somehow a stepchild of Britain, and that's why we were being treated this way, and it was okay to lie to us because, you know, we're just the young, new, rich people on the block, so to speak. And that is really how they feel. It's so bad, George, that I saw Don't Tread on Me flags everywhere. And I think why this has occurred is because of the lies. If British Petroleum would have handled it differently, I think they could have got us all working together and let's beat this enemy. Unfortunately, the way it was handled, and because of the distinct lies, they have become the enemy.
Well, you see, part of the problem, Mitch, is I think from the get-go, and that includes even drilling that well from the beginning, I think the whole thing was based on lies.
Yes. You're absolutely right, George, and not enough people are saying that. Now, let me repeat again. I knew from day number two, because of some inside people who saw the video, they knew immediately that there's no stopping this leak. The best chance would be August. And even then, that's with the relief welling, even then it was a 50-50 chance. And it gets even worse. Not only did BP always know that, they always knew they couldn't stop it. Now I believe, and I've typically been more of a supporter of the Democrats than Republicans, but I now believe that that the Democrats, that President Obama put in a terrible situation. I'm not saying he endorsed it or participated in this thing. I think what else could he do? But he knew from day one there was no way to stop it. But having said that, you know, it certainly flies into the face of integrity and being straight with the people and how he's going to change things. But I think, I mean, what would you do if you knew there was nothing anyone can do?
What would I do? I'd be honest with people. I'd come out and I'd say, look, there's a problem here. This may not be stopped for many, many months. And this is what we need to do about it. In the meantime, we need to protect the people whose livelihood has been destroyed by this. We need to protect the environment as well as we can. But this is going to be bad, folks. And that never happened.
It did not, and I do agree with you. Their justification is that it was going to stop tourism. You know that that no money would be flowing. So they were trying to the Obama administration was trying to do that in the name of recovery, of financial recovery, and of course BP was wanting to do that to save their own behind, did not spend the money. But here's the part that doesn't make sense to me. Why have they? Why do they continue to stall with all these new innovative ways and methods to capture the oil, clean the oil, and finally, as you mentioned earlier in the hour, they've got this huge tanker out there that I think could do some good. Not only does it is it a storage tanker, it also filters. In other words, it'll take in the oily water, of course, including the oil, separate it, and spit back out a clean salt water. So it's a very, very useful tool. But why so late and why so few?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm concerned too, Mitch, about what could happen earth changes-wise. And this is where you come in. I mean, my gosh, you know, Richard C. Hoagland's been talking about the possibility of a bulging bubble down there. You know, we're getting into the period where more and more earthquakes are prevalent. I mean, what's going to happen earth changes wise down there?
Well, I can't comment on the bulge. I haven't seen any hard data on that.
Nobody has. They're not showing anybody anything.
What I can confirm, if it hasn't been confirmed on the show already, I've done my best on my website, earthchangesmedia.com, and every chance I can speak, that the fissures are real. The cracks in the seabed is true. That is happening. And to the best, as I understand it, some believe that it had occurred even prior to the explosion. Others believe, and I can't sort this out, others believe that when they did the mud, when they were pushing the mud, the top of hat, I think they called it, that the pressure was too great, and that's what caused the fissure. Now, here's something I can confirm from my sources, that the reason they took the top half off, the cap, what they call the cap now, this was last week, was not because of some malfunction. It was because there was too much pressure, and the fissures were continuing and growing.
Ah.
That's why they took it off.
It's like a little pressure cooker, huh? They just needed to release it a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's for the relief drilling, you know, it's not a sure thing.
No, it's not.
When I've spoken to it, it's a flip of a coin.
And we're not going to know about that until sometime in August.
How they get away with it, George, I really don't understand. I saw it happening, as I admitted on your show with guilt and shame, that I knew, I wish I would have come forward sooner. But how could, in other words, I saw the game plan unfolding. And there are so many people who still are buying this. You know, they go from week to week, changing the scenario, always knowing nothing's going to change. Not too favorable for the earth changes that are coming. And let's pray that our government and others will not react in the same way, and that is to deny dribble.
Mitch, I got to tell you, you and I are not boosters of the man-made global warming theory, but I'll tell you this. Mankind has finally screwed up on this one, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to pull out of it.
I think we can. It's going to be really different. I hope I'm right, too. We may have lost the Gulf Coast as we know it, and the people down there, having just come back from Louisiana, it is personal. It is devastating and personal. And I'm telling you, George, I would not be shocked if we don't see the... Well, I don't even want to mention... I'll just say that... These people are seriously mad. They're serious.
I'm telling you, and the next industry down there is going to be selling white sand beach from the Cayman Islands, because it's going to be years to clean that stuff up, Mitch.
Yeah, that's right. When you get into the wetlands, I don't think there will be a recovery for much of it. And it truly is a disaster. But perhaps on the other side of this break, George, I do want to touch base with you again, as you were mentioning, of what happens when there's something called fluid displacement.
Yes.
Whether there's a gain of fluid where it's exceeding, whether in most cases it's some form of water or magma. And then it's the extraction. Either way, whether it be extraction or contraction, or expansion rather, it shifts the tectonic plate, the mantle, and that's what causes earthquakes.
Absolutely. How close are you to a landline?
I'm about 6 minutes away.
Well, you're going to make it. You're going to make it, but I want you to go at a nice, even clip. Don't speed to do this, Mitch. You'll get there in time. So what's new at earthchangesmedia.com?
Well, we've really been following this oil thing. Of course, we have the running video, PBS. They've been really good, they've been able to stay online almost the whole time. So we have a free link for that right on the front page that most people are interested in that. Now, again, here the sun is becoming active again. We've had some moderate solar storms. They're still in the C class. A couple of times it did reach M-class flares. But there's some news that's coming out about these charged particles, this plasma, if you will, whether it be solar flares or galactic cosmic rays or gamma ray bursts, that it's taking a lower level of charge to cause challenges with weather. And what the good news about that is everyone is acknowledging it. They didn't do that 5 years ago.
No, they didn't. Okay, well, you drive carefully, get yourself to a landline, and we'll hook up with you in just a moment. Mitch, and we'll take phone calls as well. Lots of folks interested in this unbelievable story. Truly remarkable. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, it's called Drawing the Map of Life with Victor McElhaney. We're going to be talking about the Human Genome Project. Incredible story. I mean, cases where, for example, somebody was very ill. Doctors had no idea what was wrong with him. And then they did a little human genome sequencing. They found out exactly what was wrong, and they started working on it, fixing him. It's an incredible story. So we'll be talking about that in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you're not a member of Streamlink yet, well, you can be for just pennies a day. Just go to the coasttocoastam.com website. And as you know, you're getting past archives, you're getting podcasting, and you're getting your iPhone apps. We're working on Android apps for you, so get ready for that, and you'll just have some fun. Streamlink, part of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, we're with Mitch Batras. Mitch, fluid displacement, you take something out, what happens?
Well, that's right. Whether you take something out or put something in, whenever a void is created, it has to be replaced. So if you're adding water, it's going to put more pressure on the mantle, therefore causing fault lines to shift. Or if you're extracting, such as oil or any other fluid, then the same thing occurs. That is known as fluid displacement. There's only a very few people who discuss it. It is known in the geological community, but not too many people speak about it, especially as a causal effect. Well, here's some examples of how devastating this could be. Fluid displacement was the cause of the China earthquake. This was in 2008, killing 80,000 people.
Oh, my.
That was fluid displacement. It had to do with the dams that they're building there, enormous dams. And this earthquake occurred right, the epicenter was right in that same area within a 10-mile radius. And that is just one example of fluid displacement, whether you're extracting water or any fluid, or if you're adding. Several geologists have come forward and, have put their stamp on it. They've known about it. They've known about it for years. One guy who finally went public, Robert Morton, he's a USGS coastal geologist. He made this statement. Oil companies with new high-tech equipment pinpoint oil-rich areas and use large drills to puncture the surface below the sea, sometimes as deep as 10,000 feet. The piercing fluid gets stuck from the sediment pores surrounding the rocks, shifting positions to fill the newly vacated spaces, therefore giving the cause for potential earthquakes. So, George, the Gulf of Mexico, which is typically not known for earthquakes, much less larger.
I was going to ask you. Pretty silent generally.
It is prone. It is prone for something pretty nasty. Not only the Gulf of Mexico, but remember, the Mississippi ends where? Right in the Gulf. And where does the Mississippi start? Well, at least not quite at the New Madrid. It's a little bit above that. But the New Madrid Fault very well could be at risk as well.
And we know that is one of the biggest faults on the planet. And back in the 1800s, they had an earthquake on that fault that was so big, Mitch, as you know, it turned the Mississippi upside down.
It did. The water was flowing backwards. This is true. There is the science of cycles, and the studies suggest that the New Madrid, as well as the Cascadia subduction zone along the west coast, are due. And now with this, not only the extraction of the oil, which could certainly make the Gulf of Mexico vulnerable, very vulnerable. I'm keeping a very close eye. That we have a full solar eclipse coming up on July 11th. Now, I've been writing about this for years, and my data is well documented. In fact, I've had response from several in NASA, NOAA, and other agencies. I have a 14-day, actually, it's a 28-day window, 14 days prior to and 14 days after a solar eclipse, there have always been, and I have it well documented, this July, actually we're in the window now, and really into August, is a time where all of us could come together and really be pretty nasty. I've been writing about it, and that's one of the things that you will find on earthchangesmedia.com is I update that every day. And it's good to know, but I'm very careful, George, not to panic people. That is counterproductive.
Right. But giving information is critical.
Exactly. I really do pay attention to what I call disaster fatigue. There really is such a thing. Where a person simply becomes numb and non-reactive.
Well, and I don't want you to become the boy who cried wolf
and
either.
The boy who cried wolf, exactly. But you said that as you were mentioning, it is those who have general preparedness, just your basic kit, the food and water and everything that we've seen from the Red Cross, FEMA, and all the other agencies. Just having that alone will reduce the mental anguish that most people would, the panic and bewilderment.
Well, Hoagland wants us to have gas masks down there. I'm not so sure it's a bad idea. As you know, almost every Israeli has their own gas mask, you know, in their own homes and families. Maybe it's time that people do that too.
Well, it was for different reasons. Of course, in the Middle East, it was, you know, Saddam had a few of those gas bombs. The gas, you know, something that could happen in the Gulf of Mexico, I can't confirm. What I can confirm is that they definitely, those in the know, those who worked with the Exxon Valdez, do believe every single worker should have a respirator.
Yes.
That I think is true. There's a lot of illness going on. Oh, by the way, I did mention while I was down there, that's not a myth. That is true. There are a lot of people who are sick, and I have every reason to believe that it's a direct cause from the oil, gas, and whatever other fluid.
I think you're right. Let's take some calls here, Mitch. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Oroville, Washington, west of the Rockies. Our first caller is David. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Hi. Everything that he's talking about is all very interesting, but at the very beginning of this, isn't this administration really kind of responsible for how bad it got? They had 13 countries that offered to send skimmers. They have a 900-foot boat that was built to skim oil. It's sitting there being tested now because they're not sure it's going to get enough oil out of the water. The governor of Louisiana was trying to build sand berms. He wasn't allowed to do that. A senator in Florida was talking to the president, and he said, well, we can't send skimmer boats down there. What if we have an oil leak somewhere else?
Oh, my God. Well, David, as you well know, you know, the buck stops somewhere, as old Harry Truman used to say. And this has happened on the Obama administration's watch, and they are very much responsible for it. Mitch, overall, you know, as you said, you've been a Democrat almost all your life. You got to be a little unhappy over the way this has been handled.
I really am, but just give me one inch in defense of Obama, and that is what we may not know, what we don't know.
Well, that's Richard hinted about that last night too. What they know that we don't. But what we've seen so far,
yeah.
I've not seen much.
Yes, I agree fully. Yes.
Green River, Wyoming, first-time caller. It's Robert Stern on Coast to Coast. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
How are you doing this evening?
Good, Robert.
You know, we had this similar problem up here in Wyoming where that gas escaped on the outside of the casing. And the thing is what really gets me is they should have gave you guys those log books, because the thing is you got the geologists know what they're going through. And as far as the mud engineers, they can tell you how much volume, and they can tell you what the size of the casing at the top. Then they go intermediate, then they go to touchdown with that casing. And why they're not releasing those books, I went through this one time up in Montana where they did not want to share information. And that way they don't have to show guilt.
Can we get anybody down there, Mitch, on some kind of mission?
Well, we can try. I think what we're going to find is greed. It's corporate secrets. It's horrible. I mean, with a disaster like this, you would think you would set all that aside. But the best I can tell is the reason that they don't want to release the information. information is because they don't want other competitors knowing what they're sitting on or what's available to make it even worse, I guess.
Well, you know, I think they're sitting on an oil reserve that might go on until the end of time.
I agree with you, George. Abiotic?
Abiotic.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pensacola, Florida. I was there for the Navy for a few weeks. Sandy is there. Hey, Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, what it is there's also another leak at the mouth of the Mississippi from the Horizon. And this has been going on ever since it's like a crack. But the main thing I was calling about is I'm a homeowner, and I contacted the insurance people.
Okay.
And they said they weren't responsible for cleaning up the oil if we had a hurricane. BP said they're not responsible for cleaning up the oil after the hurricane also.
The old Pontius Pilate routine. Everybody's washing their hands of this thing.
Yeah. And so who's going to clean up this toxic stuff that's in our yards and in our houses and stuff? And I'm going to get off and let you answer the question.
Well, and let me ask you now, Sandy, have you had any damage yet or anything?
We've had a lot of tar balls come up on the beach, and there's a lot of the red floating junk. It's out there. You can see it, and a lot of it came up from the storm.
Yeah. How big are those tar balls? What do they look
like? Some of them are the size of a plate, and some of them are smaller, and some of them are like golf ball size.
Are they all over the place?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And Dolphin, Alabama, got hit real hard with it. I mean, it's just covered everywhere.
Hey, Sandy, if I could ask a question as well.
Sure, Mitch, go.
You know, the people that I visited with in Louisiana, they are a centimeter away from taking events into their own hands. Are you getting the sense of that in the area that you live in, that the frustration is so powerful? And a lot of this comes from the fishermen. These are people who have the access to boats. I mean, they could really cause a problem. They know the area. They have boats. They're about ready to take action, and I don't know what the fallout would be. What is the atmosphere like in your area?
Lots of fishermen, it's almost like a critical. You can feel the tension in the air, and you can feel the tension in the air.
Yeah.
And people are just about ready to take whatever they can in their own hands.
It's this impending feeling, isn't it, of helplessness?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yes. Matter of fact, in Gulf Breeze, a lot of the homeowners put their own money up and put their own walls up. It's that bad.
Jeez. All right. Stay strong down there, Sandy.
Thanks.
Okay. It is a tragedy. You know, this weekend, well, tourism was supposed to be packing down there. There's nothing. I mean, there was nobody there.
Yeah. I can verify that, having been there. It's just been bad in so many ways. But again, a reflection for anybody that might be just tuning in. This was the 4th of July. Let's not forget what that represents. And that just fueled the fire. I mean, there were there are more patriots now than I've ever seen, including Democrats. Yeah, everyone was in red, white, and blue, so to speak, and they're not looking too favorable at Britain. And I'm not saying that that BP Oil has to wear the cross for England itself, but there it sure looks that way.
Where is the mighty United Nations, Mitch? How come they're not stepping in here? They seem to butt into everything else on this planet. Why aren't they getting involved here with a major cleanup effort, with everything else? I don't see anybody trying to really help us from the United Nations. This is not to say these other countries didn't jump up to try to help us, and we foolishly rejected their help. But where's the United Nations here?
The answer that I've got is really kind of a high school playground. Okay, tough guy. Okay, Mr. Ruler of the World. How's it feel now?
Mr. Big Shot,
Mr.
right?
Mr. Big Shot, yeah. It really does, George. That's kind of the impression that's being pretty strong.
I bet there are some countries that actually are relishing this right now.
Probably.
Let's go to Austin, Texas. First-time caller. It's home of Alex Jones. Hey, Darren, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say my opinion. I don't think BP and possibly the U.S. federal government actually wanted the well capped, because if BP had been able to cap it, then I can, you know, for sure they would have never been able to tap that reservoir again. And the, I think estimated they said it may be worth $200 billion.
Yeah, good point.
So if they lose, you know, $20 billion, but if they drill the relief wells, then it, they're already drilled, so they can keep tapping that reservoir. But
well, here's an interesting thing, and Darren brings up an interesting question here, Mitch. Assuming the relief wells work, are they going to continue pumping oil out of there as if it's, you know, business as usual?
Well, there's two angles of that. One is the moratorium, which I think Obama will win. I think that.
Well, he hasn't been winning it so far.
Not so far. I think that for a period of time that could help. The second part of that is that, as I understand it, they've kind of put aside escrow money, if you will. $30 billion now, I've heard that they want to raise that, but actually your caller is correct. I mean, what might $30 or even $60 billion be if they're looking at $200 or a trillion dollars or, you know, hundreds of billions?
Unbelievable. We've got a few more minutes to go here, Mitch, so we'll wrap up with a few more callers. Anchorage, Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hi, Joe. Go ahead, Joseph.
George, thank you. Well, uh-huh. You know, I'm having a vision like out of one of the movies where the people are vampires or something out of a Michael Jackson's thriller.
Yeah.
Because the night that the rain starts to come and you feel that it's bad, you know, you stay inside, and in the morning you try to step outside and you can see what happens. My point in bringing that up is that ultimately that could play to a group of people trying to move north out of the results of the storm surge and being resisted by people who are not oiled. What we need in America right now is to prepare space for the people who must be evacuated from portions of the southern coast and who will not be planning to return at all. We need the cities to say, we're making room for 10 families over here. We're making room for 25, 100 families. We need to begin to come together before it's an emergency or this may get out of hand. What do you think?
It's a good point, but when do they do that? And what's the EPA trying to do? What's FEMA doing? What are any of these agencies doing, Mitch?
Nothing. No, there's like two ways to address that. I mean, really, if you meet those that are in the front lines, they're just like me. They are truly have a high level of integrity. They want to help. They want to do everything they can. It's this upper echelon, just like any corporation, unfortunately, that causes the problems. But your caller really came up with that. That is a huge part of why I have my show. And that is preparing people for these huge changes that are coming. This is a beginning. But his scenario that he just spelled out is everything about me and what we do at Earth Changes Media. But will we prepare prior to the events? Unfortunately, history says we won't.
Well, but we should. Thank you so much, Mitch. Up next, we're going to talk about the Human Genome Project. You know, all of it's stored on 23 chromosome pairs, but what the heck does that mean? And how does that affect all of us? As we go drawing the map of life next on Coast to Coast AM.